without any further delay, Adiel, please feel free to get started.
Well, thank you, and welcome everyone. I am glad you could join us. My name is Adiel Garcia. I am the EMS Program Director at the University of Texas at Brownsville and Texas Southmost College, and I've been involved with ATT since around its beginning, November 2009, and I'm going to present to you basically this course coordinator orientation so that you can have a better idea of how the course runs. Some of the objectives, you know, by the end, you should be able to prepare a course, select the appropriate people that are involved, which include medical director and, of course, the faculty, and then finally submit the appropriate documentation to the AAOS after the course concludes. There's two types of ATT courses. The same book will be used for both of them, okay? But the basic ATT course is geared more towards first responders and EMT basics, and the advanced course is geared more towards the intermediate or advanced EMT and the paramedics. The basic course is designed to cover basic trauma life support concepts. Depending on the provider's level, a lot of anatomy and physiology and pathophysiology of the injury. And the advanced one builds on that basic trauma life support concept and provides a more in-depth look into the trauma care and advanced patient management. The people that will be involved in an ATT course is a course coordinator, one of them, one medical advisor, and several faculty, depending on the number of students. The faculty to participant ratio is 1-8, so 24 participants would yield 3 faculty members. The ATT course has very minimal bureaucracy, and it allows the coordinator to deal directly with the AAOS via email and via the website. Okay. After the course coordinator select the faculty and medical advisors, they'll be able to engage, you know, in the content, you know, because they'll preferably be content experts as far as local protocols and will be well versed in the issues and controversies that, you know, a particular area may have, you know, depending on the protocols. The administration is almost entirely done through the ATT website, and it's very user-friendly and very time-saving, and it's nearly paperless. All forms are submitted electronically, so that helps a lot. Okay. The course coordinators can access all of the information that they need to prepare for an ATT course directly from the ATT website at any time. The course coordinator is responsible for the oversight of the ATT course, and is the person in charge of the quality of the course, so they need to be able to maintain the integrity of the course. The AAOS has involved a lot of subject matter specialists into the development of the curriculum, okay? And therefore, you know, the quality of the course relies heavily, though, on the local coordinator and the faculty to deliver this program. So the course coordinator maintains the integrity of the program and ensures that, you know, the minimum course requirements are met. The course coordinator also has the responsibility to identify the medical advisor and recruits and prepares the faculty to conduct each part of the course. The AAOS wants to improve ATT course, wants to improve the course continually. Therefore, feedback from participants and faculty is important, just like it would in any other course. And the coordinators are asked to encourage the faculty and participants to evaluate the course, and that also is done online after the conclusion of the course. The course coordinator is responsible for all the logistical issues, anything from equipment to room reservations to registration and catering, et cetera, as well as the budget. Okay. They're responsible for the educational quality of the ATT course. The course coordinator must be present for the entire course and should supervise everything from the registration process to lecture scenarios and skill stations. So they need to be prepared to intervene at any time if that is necessary. This could mean that they could teach a segment or maybe redirect a scenario or skill station. They're also responsible for submitting the course notification forms and the course rosters to the AOS for each ATT course. Preferably at least one month prior to the ATT course, a course notification form needs to be submitted to the AAOS. At the completion of the course, then the coordinator needs to complete the roster and submit that to the AAOS. And like I said, all of this is done through the ATT website. The course coordinator must teach or must coordinate a course twice in a period of 4 years to maintain the coordinator status. Each course needs to have a medical advisor, and this is basically the medical resource that will address any specific issues regarding EMS or specific concerns as it relates to the course. This person must be an MD or a DO, have current responsibilities at the local or regional level in their EMS system. Therefore, they need to be versed and seasoned in the protocols in their jurisdiction. They should review how the ATT course can be integrated into the local community, and they should be prepared to answer any questions regarding the content and the integration of the EMS principles into that local region or jurisdiction. The level of involvement from the medical advisor can vary from course to course. Therefore, it is not necessarily mandatory to be on site during the course, but the name and address of the medical advisor should be indicated on the roster, and the medical advisor must provide the medical direction and advice as it is solicited by the course coordinator. They should review the content and recommend potential faculty if necessary to the coordinator, and they should once again clarify any jurisdictional protocol issues that can be addressed during the course. The medical advisor can also serve as course faculty. The faculty are chosen also by the course coordinator and can be recommended by the medical advisor, and they must be healthcare professionals. It's important that the faculty are appropriately trained for the audience that they will be teaching. So an advanced level course would require ALS providers. Ideally, faculty members are individuals that have already taken and passed an ATT course and a faculty orientation. Additional requirements in meeting local continuing education accreditation agency requirements may need to be fulfilled. And this is usually due to the continuing education credits that participants may need to receive. And the ATT members should have a copy of the ATT textbook and access to the instructor toolkit in the CD-ROM. And they should be able to read all the pertinent information as it relates to their teaching assignments. So the purpose is to facilitate the learning process in a meaningful way. So they must be familiar themselves. They must familiarize themselves with the overall structure before the course and should be thoroughly familiar with the objectives of each section that they are required to teach. So they should be able to work with the rest of the faculty and the course coordinator. And typically an ATT course involves the course coordinator and several faculty members to maintain that 8-to-1 ratio. And this, once again, can vary depending on the continuing education requirements to meet. Okay. Preparation of the faculty. It's recommended that the coordinator meet with the faculty before the start of the course so that they can review anything from course schedules to unusual situations, management of the small groups, and of the particular equipment they will be using, and to answer any questions about the content as well. As we mentioned, there's a faculty to participant ratio of 1-to-8, and this may vary. As part of the planning process, the coordinator needs to calculate the maximum number of participants who will be able to register for the course, and they should investigate the size of the lecture rooms as well as the breakout rooms that are going to be necessary. And finally, it's going to be necessary to have enough equipment available for all participants in the skill stations. To run the ATT course, the coordinator will need the appropriate audiovisual equipment, you know, an LCD projector and screen, a computer with a CD-ROM drive, DVD player, monitor. In addition to the audiovisual equipment, course coordinators need the course resources for ATT. This includes the textbook, the audiobook, the pre-course online module, at least to have access to it and run through it, and the toolkit for the CD-ROM as well as the DVD that will play the movies that are there to facilitate some of the skill stations. All of the course materials are integrated with one another and facilitate the engagement of the learner. All the materials are case-based and encourage the participant to use critical thinking skills and apply their own knowledge and experience to solving the cases. The textbook, this is basically what each participant's going to need, as well as the faculty be familiar with and the course coordinator. Okay. It has, it's basically case-based, and they interact and with a participant. Okay. There's 36 procedures and provides step-by-step guides to most of the critical trauma care. There's an audiobook also that's packaged with each copy of the textbook, and of course this will allow the participant to be able to listen to the book while they're in their car, in their office, or on portable CD players, etc. The pre-course online is packaged, there is a code that is packaged with every textbook, and the online module is designed to guide the participant through a lot of the cognitive material associated with the ATT course and provide an opportunity for a lot of refresher material, a lot of refresher knowledge of basic concepts, but it's very dynamic and it helps to maximize the retention. And this should be completed before they show up to take the course. As far as the toolkit, it contains guidelines for teaching the ATT course, PowerPoint presentations with lecture notes. There's detailed scenarios for the small group discussions, strategies that will facilitate running each skill station, and it has an image bank providing access to a lot of the important images that are found in the textbook. The DVD provides the video segments that will be used throughout the course. And of course, you know, with a video that will enhance and reinforce each concept. And it has five segments that are on the screen now. And it basically is a demonstration of the skills, and it will set up the actual station for the faculty. Okay. So all of this comes in the teaching package that each coordinator should have and each faculty should have access to. Some of the budget considerations, promotional materials, the faculty expenses, which can include transportation, lodging, meals, etc., an honorarium, if that's the way it is dealt with, purchase and rental of equipment, including not only skill station equipment, but audiovisual equipment. The facility expenses, if you're going to be renting out a meeting room, course supplies, the textbooks, DVDs, pens, name badges, any photocopying thing. Postage is usually now, you know, dealt with email and stuff like that, but, you know, something to consider. And shipping of the textbooks to the participants, if that is something that needs to happen. Okay. Some course coordinators may wish to charge a fee for participants, you know, taking the course in order to cover these costs, you know, and the need and amount depends. So the course coordinator has discretion for these costs. The schedule. So there are two available options, the basic ATT course and the advanced ATT course. Both versions, though, have the combination of the online and on-site modules. So this includes the two-hour pre-course module. Some people, I've heard, take a little longer, but, you know, usually about 2 hours. And then the eight-hour on-site module that is going to provide, you know, an enhanced experience and expand on the participants' trauma knowledge and skills. The basic and advanced course schedules provide the ATT website, provided on the website, include the minimum content and the minimum times. So some of these can vary depending on the local, the course that will be administered locally. The components to the course, the pre-course online module, which should be completed before the face-to-face session. Then there's going to be three lectures, four scenarios, and five skill stations. And then at the end, there's going to be a written exam. The pre-course module includes 12 modules in that two-hour time period that we talked about. After the completion of those 12 lessons, then there will be an exam, and the participant must receive at least an 80 in order for them to be able to get a printout of their pre-course certificate and attend the on-site module. If they don't pass the first time, then they will have an opportunity to review the material and have a second attempt. If after that second attempt the participant is unsuccessful, then they will need to obtain a new access code. Remember, the access code was inside of the textbook, but the access code is also sold separately in those cases where somebody needs more than two times to, you know, pass the pre-course module. The lectures are designed for presentation by one faculty member to the entire group, and they convey a broad overview of the traumatic issues, and the faculty member will adjust the lecture to the needs of the audience. Okay. The basic lectures include the initial assessment, which is also the same for advanced, but then the other two change: head and neck trauma and torso trauma for basic, and airway and traumatic brain injury for advanced. The scenarios are designed to promote learning in small groups, and it's based on a case study. And this is the ideal opportunity for participants to share their own experiences with the protocols, asking each other questions, and the job of the faculty members to facilitate or guide the discussion, okay? So for each topic, there are three advanced and three basic case studies. The advanced case studies are more complex as far as physiology and management, while the basic ones don't require a lot of the advanced life support interventions. The faculty should let the participants talk it out while guiding the discussion. And, you know, they should focus on each case, give to the participants with enough time to explore the different possibilities of treatment and management. For each topic, there are three basic and three advanced case studies. And of course, the advanced are more geared toward a more complex physiology, a pathophysiology, and management, while the basic studies don't get a lot into the more advanced life support interventions or invasive interventions. The scenarios play an important role in helping the students to apply information from all aspects of the course. So the faculty will present a scenario, and then the participants walk through it as a team. You know, they'll request additional information from the faculty, and the faculty will facilitate that information and provide through the process of developing a management strategy. The faculty should limit the intervention to situations in which the discussion is unproductive. Okay, so if they're proceeding down the wrong path, and you know, you guide them back to providing that additional information or gearing it toward the appropriate management of the case. The ACT course includes instruction from several essential motor skills that are going to be needed in a trauma patient. So the emphasis of the skill station is that the learner participate with supervision from the faculty member. Each skill station provides general information just to set it up, and then allows the participant to act. So the basic and advanced skill stations include assessment, airway, spinal immobilization, the GCS scoring, and a MassCal triage. That's done with a video, but it is paused, and then the participants get to tag the patient on the video appropriately.
This is Chris. May I help you?
The skill station format serves two purposes. Number one, to create the critical thinking situation for participants, and also to provide a forum for demonstrating the hands-on skills and allowing participants to practice under the supervision of the faculty member. Each skill station, once again, is tailored to reflect local protocols. You know, if a particular piece of equipment's not used, then we don't get into that. The written test, this is going to be administered after all the components are complete. The participant needs an 80% or higher, and it is a case-based format. Okay, so all of the questions will present a case, and then the participant will pick the best answer. There are basically four tests, two for advanced and two for basic, and they do need an 80 to or higher passing score. Successful completion of the entire program will depend on the pre-course component, the on-site module, and the written test. There is a four-year recommended renewal date, and once the coordinator submits the roster online, then the participant will actually get a certificate to the email address that they submitted when registering for the course. Of course, this is their CSBEAMS credit awarded through the AAOS, and the participant must request this credit upon registering, or the course coordinator can also request it when submitting the roster. As mentioned in the beginning, this is nearly paperless because the course notification form and the roster and the certificates and even the evaluations at the end, they will all be done through the ATT website. So we have several things that, you know, like lesson maps per se, you know, for a participant or a course coordinator to make sure happens before the course. So 1 month before, the course notification form is going to be sent to the AAOS. This will allow the participant to register for a course, find their coordinator, find the date, and then his information will auto-populate the roster. And once the course coordinator accesses it near the time of the course, then he should have all the participants already. It'll show their name, email address, and it'll show whether they've completed their pre-course module at that time or not. So the course notification form will look something like that, what's on the screen. You fill it out and then you submit it. If it's a course open to the public, it'll be published on the website. If it's not, then it won't be published or promoted on the website. After completing the ADT course, the coordinator must complete the online roster, and you go in there and you check off whether they passed the face-to-face or on-site module. Okay, it will already be populated with the participant's information. If somebody tells you that they did the pre-course module, they wanted to go to your course, and you don't see them on there, you have the option of searching for them on an open roster. Sometimes they don't sign up for this particular course. They just do the pre-course module, and they go on an open roster. So you can go retrieve them and then add them to your course before you submit the roster. And the roster will look something like that. Okay, it'll have the course type, the students, and then the faculty information, and also a tab for the medical advisor. After a completed roster is received, a personalized PDF course completion certificate will be mailed to the participants that have passed their courses, and a copy will be sent to their course coordinators. And then the participant can subsequently print it out for their records. I have had people call me and tell me that their certificate had a misspelled name on it. And my response to that is, that's automatic from the way you signed up on when you registered for the course. So if you misspell your name's going to be misspelled on your certificate. The other thing is, some people have told me that they never got the email with their course completion PDF. And then we subsequently find out that because they entered the wrong email address. Instead of putting Hotmail, they just put Otmail without the H or something like that. Or, you know, or they put a different letter, a different number, you know. So you would think that people would be meticulous about the way they sign up, but apparently some people have failed to do that. The evaluation forms are also available online, and the course coordinator should encourage all, not only the participants, but the faculty members to complete an evaluation form from the ATT website. The coordinator can subsequently access a report of the feedback, you know, to improve future courses. The timelines for these things, obviously this starts way in advance from selecting the level of the course, identifying the appropriate people that need to be in the course, taking into account who's going to serve the food, at what time. At what time is important. Most of the courses that I have coordinated have been in Mexico and Latin America, and in central Mexico, people eat at 2 or beyond. So my lunch time is usually 2 or 2:30, you know, versus the U.S. where 12 noon is usually, you know, the standard per se. Make sure that all of the participants have received their textbooks, preferably 30 days in advance, that all the supplies and equipment are available for the skill stations and for the faculty. At least a month before, the course coordinator should submit a course notification form. Talk to the faculty, make sure that they are confirmed, assign their responsibilities, schedule a meeting, and make sure that there's enough copies of the final exam at the end. The day before the course, once again, just review that everything is still a go from the meals and the time the meals will be arriving, the signage, course registration area, and, you know, the faculty meeting, which is imperative. During the course, the coordinator should do everything that's involved in maintaining the integrity of the course, checking the rooms, making sure the audiovisual equipment and the lights are in order, set up for meals and refreshments when those times come, place the signs in conspicuous areas so that people know where to go. There's going to be simultaneous skill stations, so people will be rotating. You know, we don't want to spend a lot of time rotating from station to station because that adds up, and at the end of the day, you know, that can add another 40, 50 minutes if people don't know exactly where they need to go. Have the faculty available to answer any questions, provide direction, encourage the faculty and participants to complete those evaluation forms at the end of the course as well. After the course, they need to submit the roster to the database send thank you letters, send the honorariums if necessary, return all borrowed or rented material, pay all invoices, and basically submit any paperwork not only to AAOS but to local continuing education providers for approval if that's appropriate and if that's necessary. The ATT website is a community where all the coordinators and faculty and providers can go to. It was specifically designed to complement the ATT course, and it is updated regularly. You know, basically, you will find everything you need to know to run an ATT course at www.attrauma.com. Quick links. Same thing, the ATT website features the quick links for fast information retrieval. So to summarize, the AAOS will send the course coordinator an ID when the course coordinator goes to the website and signs up or solicits to become a course coordinator. They send you an ID. You do an orientation online, basically what is covered here. You do it online. It takes about 15, 20 minutes. And then you have your username and password, which you will use for course notifications, to submit rosters, and to submit or have access to the evaluations that were submitted, et cetera. I don't see that anybody put any questions on the chat. I don't know if there are any specific questions that I can answer, or if you want to unmute your phones and ask me questions, we can go that way as well.
Adiel, I think the chat questions have been coming into me, and I do have a few that I can post to you that you could address to the group.
Okay, great.
One question that came in is, how do you sell this to your local EMS systems who may be resistant to change? I think they're speaking of, you know, as a substitute to ITLS or PHTLS.
Well, I actually like that question very much, and I think the answer is, if your local EMS providers are interested in teaching people what they will be doing out in the field, this is the perfect course. The big thing about this course is that it is based and can be tailored to local protocols. So it is very possible. In fact, it is what happens, that a course in San Francisco is not going to be the exact course that is taught in Houston, because the local protocols, equipment, et cetera, will vary. So there will be change from other courses. We have to understand that all these courses are based on the same evidence and evidence and science behind it. So they just come packaged differently. And this one is protocol friendly. You know, you want them to learn this new piece of equipment that your service has recently adopted. You implement that into the course. That is going to help you teach a course that people will be actually practicing in the field. You know, you train like you fight, you know, to use a military type of analogy there.
Thank you. Another question that has come in several times is, who can become a course coordinator, or what are the requirements for instructor and course coordinator certification?
Okay. It's a case-by-case basis, but preferably we would want somebody that has taken the ATT course and has passed, and that believes in it and is interested in maintaining the integrity of it. So per the administration manual, anybody that passes the ATT course can potentially be an instructor. The catch to that is that the coordinator selects instructors or faculty. So the course coordinator will select people that they are comfortable in delivering the material. The course coordinator goes online and they request to become a coordinator. The application is reviewed, and it's usually based on somebody's experience teaching other courses, somebody wanting to bring this to their area. So after you submit the application, it takes a couple of days. It is reviewed by the administration, and then you will get an acceptance or denial email. Up to now, I have been involved, like I said, mostly in Latin America. And in Latin America, we've been a little more particular about who becomes a coordinator, because a lot of the piracy issues that we deal with in Latin America are non-existent in the U.S. So I think in the U.S., if you want to become a coordinator, if you want to teach it, if you had prior experience with other courses, you should have no problem soliciting to become a coordinator and getting approved to become a coordinator.
Thank you, Ariel. We have quite a few questions coming in, and I'm just sort of reading through to make sure that they're all addressed.
Felicia, can I just jump in for a second?
Absolutely.
This is Christine Emerton
is the publisher of the ATT program. Christine?
I just want to add to what Ariel said, and I know that during his presentation, he directed everybody to the attrauma.com website. And if you haven't had a chance to go to that website just to take a look at the information there, it really spells out very clearly the requirements to become a course coordinator, requirements for a medical director, and the preferred requirements for faculty. So, you know, if you want to just sort of have in writing in front of you the requirements to become an ATT course coordinator after the webinar, it's all spelled out there. Obviously, you know, you need to be a physician, a nurse, a PA, a paramedic, or an EMT. As Adiel said, you know, you need to prove, EMS teaching experience, and then preferably, of course, participate in an ATT provider course and pass that course at the level at which you wish to teach. So I just want to reiterate that a lot of this information does exist on the ATT, the AT Trauma website as well.
Thank you, Christine. Actually, a number of questions that are coming in I think can be addressed with that response, because we have people asking where they can find course coordinator applications, what equipment is required for conducting an ATT course, and all of that information can be answered on the website. I would like to provide my email address to everybody, which I will do via the chat. So if you have any specific questions, I can put you in touch either with your sales rep, I can put you in touch with local course coordinators, or I can send you links directly to the ATT website to find the information that you're looking for, and I will send that out via the chat in just a minute. Adiel, people are asking what the reception has been to the ATT course. Do you want to speak about your experience?
Sure. I can speak one for South Texas, or the program I run at the university. The biggest thing that I hear is it's a friendlier course. You know, it is flexible. The website and the agenda on the website is the minimum things that need to happen during a course. But these courses can be enhanced depending on your local protocols. If you want somebody taught this, that's what you should do. The reception has been great, not only in my experience here in South Texas, but especially in Latin America, where courses are not as accessible. You know, people have to travel great distances to go to particular courses. So this has really put ATT on the map. And since May, when we rolled out the first ATT course in Mexico City, we've done about 20 courses. Some of them simultaneously, you know, on a weekend, courses going on at the same time in different Mexican states and stuff like that. But also here in the U.S., I have really heard that the one-day schedule helps a lot of people, you know, with travel and the expenses related to that. The flexibility, you know, dealing with local protocols, that has been also, I think, two of the highlights that I have heard as far as people and their receptiveness to this new or relatively new ATT program.
I know that this is Christine Emerton again, that some of the questions that are coming up are related to finding a provider course and as the first step toward becoming an ATT course coordinator. And you know, if you are interested in becoming a course coordinator, please drop an email to Alicia, and you know, she can work with me. You know, we have ways to find courses for you, to work with you, to you know, even do an agency specific or a regional rollout with you. We have some great instructors like Adiel who are working with us to help us disseminate the course. So that's certainly something that that we can assist you with. So and put you in touch with your state sales rep as well. So if that's something that you're interested in doing and you just haven't been able to find a provider course, please get in touch with us and we will work with you to make that happen.
That people are typing furiously, and I have, again, a number of questions that are coming in that are for specific areas, and I'd like to work with everyone directly if you're interested in having someone come or if you're curious about your credentials as a PHTLS instructor, and I'll be replying to you via the chat with my email address. But again, are there any final questions for Adiel before we end the webinar? Well, I think that concludes our call for today, and I'd like to thank everybody for participating. This presentation and the audio recording will be available on our website in the next couple of days on the attrauma.com website. So if there's any information that you missed or you'd like to revisit, again, in addition to the site just being a great resource for the course, this presentation will be made available, and you can view it, download it at your convenience. Adiel, thank you for your great presentation.
Thank you all for attending. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Adiel. It's Patty Einstein. Thank you so much. It's great.